first week back, we're trying to work out all the cobwebs from being off a couple of weeks.
We're going to begin worship.
I think everyone in... good to be back. Kind of when you don't have the Wednesday night worship, you miss it because you miss that little pick me up during the middle of the week, and that keeps us going throughout the week. We're going to begin tonight. With forever. And I love this song because it really expresses God's everlasting love for us and lets us know that it never ends. You'll stand with me if you are willing and able.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Oh, His love is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
His love endures forever.
For the life that's been reborn,
His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is
I heard the song Shout to the North, I really didn't like it. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks ago that I was really hearing the words that I was singing and what a message this has for us to stand up and profess our faith in Jesus Christ.
May thy faith rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, and your brokenness complete.
Prepare ourselves to hear God's word tonight. Let us ask God to prepare us to be sanctuary for Him.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. True with thanksgiving.
let us pray. Dear Lord, may we each night be a sanctuary. May our bodies be a temple for you. One that is pure and holy, and that will stand up against those things that are not of you and for you. We ask that our minds and our hearts be open tonight, that we may receive your word. Amen. Before, you may be seated. Before Tommy Clark is going to be giving us our message tonight, before he comes to speak, we have a special music by Ted Hatfield.
He had compassion for the lost. He died for our sins. He paid the cost. He surrendered to the cross. That's how I want to walk. He never made a sinful choice. He listened only to his Father's voice. He stayed on the narrow path. I want to walk like that. I want to walk like that, on the way that's straight, in the footprints of love that my Savior made. Not to the left or right, always straight ahead, following my God wherever I'm led. He loved and never looked back. I want to walk like that. He said he was the only way. He was so bold and unafraid. He said, on this rock I stand. I want to walk like that. And Jesus is my Savior's name. And millions praise him unashamed. Some would die to claim that fact. I want to walk like that. I want to walk like that, on the way that's straight, in the footprints of love that my Savior made. Not to the left or right, always straight ahead, following my God wherever I'm led. He loved and never looked back. I want to walk like that. He loved and never looked back. I want to walk like that.
We just got back from last week. We talked about I don't know if y'all seen some of the sweatshirts we got. It says Ultimate Fighting, and yeah, Nikki's got hers on. USC, which usually stands for Ultimate Fighting Challenge, or we renamed it Ultimate Faith Challenge. And we talked about wrestling with things, struggles that we might have in our life. Talked about in Genesis 32.
altar. Whenever you move forward.
Talking about how Jacob wrestled with an angel in Genesis 32. Then we talked about how there were many times in the Bible where a lot of biblical figures have struggled and wrestled with things. So we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit more. And for y'all that were on the trip, I'll try not to repeat myself and some of the things that I talked about there so I don't get too boring. But we're going to come back to the story of Jacob in just a minute. But first we're going to talk about a verse in Ephesians. It's Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And again, that's Ephesians 6:12. I don't know if some of you know about wrestling, like the type, not like the, what you see is, or it's fake wrestling on TV a lot, but kind of like collegiate wrestling or some of you would see in school. But it's an individual contact sport, and unlike football or basketball or baseball, if you get fatigued in this sport, no one could sub in for you. You're on your own. In wrestling, once you start, you kind of have to man up for 6 minutes, six straight minutes. If you get tired, you must suck it up and keep going. Keep wrestling, keep battling. You must be in the best conditions physically and mentally in this sport. The goal of the sport is to grab hold of your opponent with physical dominance and pin his shoulders on the mat. The only help you receive is from the verbal advice from the coach or other teammates on the side, on the sidelines from the mat. The coaches are yelling at the wrestler at all times, telling them what to do. But other than that, the rest is up to you, it's up to the individual. As coaches and athletes, we wrestle with the temptations of sin and Satan every day. Maybe something we don't think about a lot, but we certainly do. All people on God's earth, as a lot of us know, we're born into sin. Satan doesn't have to instigate every evil thought that we have. We feel a lot of times victim to ourselves, and we must understand also that Satan likes to be the writer of these thoughts that we have. We wrestle with the body of sin as well as with wrestling with Satan. In order to wrestle Satan and his evil doings, you must be spiritually conditioned. Wrestlers go through a lot of rigorous training, a lot of working out, just like most people do in sports. But they have to be at the peak of their performance at all times before they get ready to compete. We'll talk more about Jacob and Genesis in a minute, but in the story of Jacob, he had to wrestle an angel, or it might have been God himself, or Jesus, some might say, until daybreak. So he had to also be in wonderful physical condition. The same applies when wrestling with sin and evil, as ourselves wrestling with it today. We must train ourselves against sin and immoral thoughts every day by going to church and studying God's Word and meditating and Bible study. It's kind of like the church is our training facility. It's our gym. It's where we work out. So it's kind of, for me, I see a lot of people go to church and they'll leave feeling guilty as if they've been busted or they've done something wrong. But to me, going to church is a place to work out, to get exercise, to prepare yourself for what you have to walk out into and walk into a world of sin. So don't leave church feeling guilty. Leave church feeling revived and prepared. But you'll leave out of church wearing the armor, or the Lord's holy armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17 says, "You must take up the full armor of God so you may resist the evil of today. Since you prepared yourself for this, to take your stand. Stand with truth like a belt around your waist, and without sin like an armor around your chest. And your feet sandaled with the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of Satan and his evil. Put on the helmet of salvation and carry the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is God's Word. God is your coach, standing on the sidelines telling you what to do when you're tempted by Satan's work or sin that we face daily. You don't normally go into, or you don't see football teams or basketball teams go into a competition or a game without a coach. I mean, they'd be all over the place. They wouldn't know where to go, just as if we would be if we didn't have God as our coach, telling us how to get through the problems that we face, the sin that we face, and the temptation that we wrestle with every day. So I want to move on to Genesis, which is Genesis 32. We're going to talk about Jacob actually wrestling with God. I'm going to start out with Genesis 32:22. It says, "The same night Jacob got up, took his two wives, took his two concubines, and his 11 children, and crossed the Jabbok River. After he had sent them across, he also sent across all that he owned. But he stayed behind alone. Then a man came and wrestled with him until just before daybreak. When the man saw that he was not winning the struggle, he hit Jacob on the hip, and it was thrown out of joint. The man said, 'Let me go. Daylight is coming.' 'I won't until you bless me,' Jacob answered. 'What is your name?' the man asked. 'Jacob,' he answered. The man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob. You have struggled with God and with men, and you have won. So your name will be Israel.'" I'm going to stop right there. Of all the mysteries that I would like solved before I die, it is one that says you must struggle if you're going to grow, that I would like to figure out. Growth always means struggle in one form or another. Struggle, I struggled when I was younger trying to grow physically. A lot of us do. We struggled as children attempting to grow emotionally, psychologically, and intellectually. So we do struggle when we grow. In Genesis, we find Jacob, who faced a lot of struggles as he grew to be the man that God wanted him to be. Jacob left town in great disgrace. I'm certain it had to be that he slinked out of town at night. It is also certain that aside from his mother, no one knew where he was headed that night when he left. Jacob's brother Esau was so mad at him that he had to leave town in a hurry just to survive, because his brother was so mad at him. Jacob struggled all through his life. God wanted him to be God's man. Jacob fought with that fact, that the old nature that says, forget what God wants, be your own man, do what you want to. Hey, it's your life, isn't it? And I think a lot of us face the same tensions today. There are struggles with relationships, morality, the physical realm. We have many struggles. We struggle in every area of life. We struggle with why some things must be. Why does a plane crash? Or a bridge collapse? Why do children die? Even though we accept struggle as part of life, we still question its value, question its purpose. Along with our questioning, there is one immutable fact that, if accepted, will give your suffering, your struggling, some meaning. in life's crucible, God is there. And He will help you through everything and through all that we do. So let's note three principles about wrestling with the struggles and wrestling with temptation of life. These principles are seen in the life of Jacob. He is camped at the river at Jabbok, on the night before he is to confront his brother Esau. Jacob is coming home and he doesn't know what to expect. It's been 20 years. This is a time when Jacob could really use a friend to help him. So let's look at principle one. Get alone with God. Note that Jacob prayed, but he didn't get an answer right away. Jacob had grown accustomed to the following God by this time, so he was committed to going back, doing the right thing. So he knew he had to turn around. This prayer was public, but Jacob got no answer until he got alone with God and faced God himself. Many of us depend too much on the prayers of others, which is not a bad thing, such as a friend or spouse praying for us, our parents praying for us, our preacher praying for us. But God often wants to do something personal in us, and we, like Shakespeare's weak-kneed would-be lover, want someone else to plead our own case. When you're going to wrestle with the problems of your life, it is important to get alone with God. Note verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day." Public prayer is general, but when you get alone with God, all the veneer and the outer facets melt away. There is no one to lie to, no one to try to impress, no one that you have to be somebody else in front of. Spend time praying alone. Principle two, get authentic with God. We don't have to settle for the superficial things in our relationship with God. The name Jabbok means to run about and to stir up dust. Jacob did a lot of that on that night. It wasn't a physical battle, but an emotional upheaval. It was a battle within. So, ask yourself the question, what's authentic about you today? Is it your clothes? Is it the way that you wear your hair? Is it what you drive? Or is it an authentic relationship with the Almighty God? So honest and so open that you will not settle for anything less with Him. And you want no less in your human relationships. Get authentic with God. Principle three, get amended by God. When you get alone and authentic with the Lord, the next thing that will happen is change. God will change you, undoubtedly. Jacob hung around the whole night waiting for answers. God honors that kind of persistence in us as He honored that in Jacob. Here's the bottom line. Jacob wrestled all night long with the angel of God. The dawn was about to break. Jacob knew, as did the Lord, that the morning light would bring Jacob's death if the angel did not leave. No man can see the face of God and survive. And so the angel entreated Jacob. With all the wrestling that night, Jacob would not give in. Even with his life in the balance, he would not let go of God's presence until he firmly established whom God was going to be in his life. Nothing else mattered to him except for that. And that's what changed his whole life. It's his persistence. So, in knowing these three principles, starting with getting alone with God, getting authentic with God and getting amended by God. Put those into action and let those take place in our lives. And keep those in mind, and we will see the change that we need in our life. And let God take forth in our life. And let Him do the work that He wants us to do. And He wants done through us. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, let us take the word that You have given us on this evening, and let us meditate on it. Please, Lord, let us strengthen our relationship with You. Humble us at the times that we need to, Lord. But Lord, please help us in this new year in reaching our goals. Help us to defeat temptation as it clouds over us every day. Lord, thank You for the blessings. Thank You for being in our life. Please speak to us, Lord. Open our hearts to Your Word at all times. And speak to our listening hearts, O Father. And bless us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Do we have any prayer requests this evening? Thank you, Tom. Okay, Jason. What's his last name? I don't know how to spell that, but... we'll come up with it. Thank you. Peter Shaughnessy. That's your great grandfather, or your grandfather. Is there another one? Jay? Nikki. Any others? Are there others? Heather. Are there any others? And for anyone else that is looking at inviting someone to church, that it will be well received, the invitation. Are there any others? Okay. We're going to have a prayer and then go into a short time of silent prayer. As Tommy was speaking, it made me think that as a new year comes around, there's also new opportunities for resolution. And if we're looking at our situation and our struggles, are we running from God with them and having God chase us down, or are we submitting? Or Carrie, you wrestle when someone's wrestling and you give up, what do you call it? Forfeit. Are we able to forfeit and submit to God's will and not our own? And if Nikki will begin our prayer and then lead us into a time of silent prayer. If you need to remain time in prayer, please do so. And also, please stand with me as we sing, Grace Flows Down.
From hands and feet that
like we're nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. That grace flowed down and covered me.
Let us lift our voice to worship the Lord.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my God.
Sicknesses, we just ask you, please be your light with us so we see you in our hearts, in our circumstances, in people around. Let us share this light with others those who are in desperate need. We ask you to bless your servants for ministering your word everywhere, and we ask you to bless our pastor and bless our church especially, so we would feel your presence here, so we would get every Sunday and every Wednesday when we are here, we would get that strength about which Tommy was speaking, so we would have this grace filled in every day, so we would be your witness to this world. We love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus who saved us, who shed his blood for us. And I ask you right now just to bless those who don't know you, or maybe they're looking for you, they don't know how to find you, but please touch their hearts so they would answer and accept you and find this eternal life and this happiness in you. And thank you for the blessed assurance that you sent through Jesus, through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Father.
Thank you for this opportunity, the opportunity to worship you. And may we look at that as an opportunity, as a blessing, as a want to, as a get to. Thank you. May this service be a blessing and an honor and glory to you. And let us take the message that we heard tonight. your message to us, that we may find comfort in you in our struggles, that we may find time alone with you, that we may be authentic with you, and that we may be amended with you. In your Son's name, amen. As we leave, I need to see some of the youth that haven't gotten their calendars, and also the ones that are going on the mission trip, if I can see you for just 2 seconds. Our speaker next week will be Nikki Nairn.
Thank you. Hey, Mina. Where's my own guitar? I have to go. I have my own guitar.
Yeah. It's really strange. It's probably more.